Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Cheryl Hardy with Managing Safety. Welcome to a show produced by Mr. Obie Young from the FAA Production Studios. And Managing Safety is available on iTunes and the FAA Production Studio website. And today our special guest is Mr. Obie Young, who is the producer for Managing Safety, as well as a director for the FAA Production Studios. Welcome, Obie. How are you today?
Cheryl, it's great to be here one more time.
And tell us exactly where we are today.
Well, we're actually in the conference room at the FAA Production Studios at the FAA National Resource Center in beautiful Lakeland, Florida, at the home of Sun and Fun here, and we're glad to be here one more time.
You bet. Now, we're going to talk a little bit today about the history of Managing Safety and the FAA Production Studios, but in order to do that, let's start with Managing Safety and let them know how Managing Safety was born.
Well, actually, we really need to go back to the 1990s and look at the lineage of the FAA Production Studios to see where Managing Safety came in within the last couple of years. So if we could, if that's okay with you, I'd like to go back to 1990.
Perfect.
And we had a group of people here who wanted to support aviation safety and educational programs and to make this available through different forms of media. And that group of people became the Florida Aviation Safety Foundation and later on became known as the National Aviation Safety Foundation. And so that's how the FAA Production Studios started.
Obie, first before we move on, what was the need for FASF and then NASF?
Well, the need was to, like I said, to enhance aviation safety through educational programs. That's what their goal was all about it back 20 years ago, and it's still the same today. And the media that we've started with was just standing up, delivering a message on takeoff and landings, delivering a message on loss of directional control, human factors, some of the same things that are going on today. You know, people still get hurt for the same reason. That hadn't changed very much. But the media that we delivered in, we'll go back to the VHS days, to the beta days, to the digital interface, and to now HD that we're going into. So that's changed over the years. So the studio and the foundation has evolved over the years with those different modes of operation.
So the National Aviation Safety Foundation is an organization or association dedicated to aviation safety, a nonprofit organization?
Hence the name, National Aviation Safety Foundation. You're right on target, and I guess you should know.
Now tell me a little bit about the objectives.
Well, some of the first projects that we did, because the FAA needed some help on airworthiness, we had a call from Washington headquarters, in fact, from the airworthiness section of the FAA, talking about parts for airworthy aircraft. And actually, this was how something comes to life as a part. Like, well, I'll just take an alternator from down at the automotive shop and put it on my airplane. It's fine. Well, no, that's not really the way it happens. So we go from the manufacturer through the distribution, through the quality control, all the way up to the actual installation on the airplane, and that was done with Lowry Studios back then and in the early days. From there, we went over to a project with Samurai Airmanship, and Samurai Airmanship was Rod Machado's pen name for a program he had on the attitudes of pilots and people in aviation about making mistakes and pressing on from there. And actually, I think Delta Airlines uses it in their training right now. Now, the parts for airworthiness aircraft is still using in the quality assurance group out at Boeing Aircraft in Seattle, Washington. So we're proud of some of our efforts on those projects when we first started.
And what was your role in those projects?
We were production. We were producing the things. We were also making them available through duplication on VHS tapes. That was back in the VHS days. So when we did those, That was the method that we had for distribution.
And you did that where?
We did it here at the FAA Production Studios in Lakeland, Florida.
And who helped you do that?
Well, naturally, the volunteers, the FAA production crew. We started with a small crew of about 20 or 30 people, and now we've grown to a crew of over 150.
That's amazing.
It really is, and it's a real, over the last 20 years, some of the people were 12 and 13 years old, and now they're 20 and 21 years old, and some of the people were pilots in training at Emory-Riddle or FIT or the Delta Connection, and now they're airline pilots flying for the airlines. And yet they still come back at homecoming, if you would, for Sun and Fun to participate in some of the skills that they obtained then and have continued on. Some of the others have gone into production business in television and film and video. So we're proud of working with the young people like we do today with the Central Florida Aerospace Academy and also with other groups and organizations.
How did you organize the equipment and things of that nature that you needed to do these projects?
Well, I don't know much about production or didn't. So we went in to talk to people who knew what they were doing. And we surrounded ourselves with experts, Disney, Universal Studios, my church. Lighting is a funny story because that tends to be a matter of opinion. There's no right or wrong way in a lot of respects. It's a matter of opinion. So we obtained a lot of the equipment from closing out studios in other locations at Oklahoma City and at Palm Coast, and we obtained it then. Also, the foundation obtained a lot of equipment brand new right off the shelf when we needed to go to another level, like when we went from VHS to Beta SP, which is the broadcast soup du jour, I guess, if you would, for many years. And then from there, we went to digital video, and now we're going to the hard drive. So over the years, the foundation has funded those things. And the money comes from groups and organizations and individuals.
Now, I know I'm jumping around a little bit with you on this, however, and we want to get to the rest of the history, but really, this started as a real grassroots effort with a real clear, definitive message of aviation safety.
So absolutely. And it hadn't changed in years. We were looking at the concept of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and of the studio, and it's all about safety. We're not selling safety, we're giving it away, as Ernie likes to say that. I think that was in one of our things that's on our website still today, that Sam Kavaris did for us. And he's with a television station up in Jacksonville with Sam Sportsline. So there's been a lot of people. Arnold Palmer has helped us on some stuff. We've done some stuff at First Flight. Just been a lot of people that have just been passionate about aviation and aviation safety. So it's never been really difficult to get people to work with us once they understand that we have no hidden agenda. It's all about safety.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you started this studio. You had the cooperation of volunteers. They rallied. The message was clear. Everybody's on board. I just want listeners to know that when they walk into the studio now, they see quite a different picture from hence the beginning, okay?
Right. That most people say, this looks like a real studio.
Exactly.
And it is. We actually broadcast. We have a satellite transmitter here, which is owned by the National Aviation Safety Foundation, which also owns the Florida Aviation Network, which was primarily connecting to the major training schools here in Florida, which we later evolved into streaming media when we go into the internet, which you and Hugh are familiar with because y'all manage the website with Hardy Computers.
Now, let's go back to the volunteers. And how did you determine and how did the board determine what logo we were going to rally around?
Okay, the FAA Production Studio logo years ago in I think that started in mid-2000, 2004, or something like that, maybe a little bit before then. Yes, it was a little bit before then. They needed a flag to rally around. We couldn't let what we call the meatball, the actual FAA logo, be worn by civilians. But yet we wanted something that they could rally around and be part of an organization that supported the FAA's mission of aviation safety. So at the FAA Production Studios, we said we got with the attorneys with the FAA and the attorneys with the foundation. And we even went so far back in 2004 with Larry Haber, who is a copyright attorney for Disney, and now he's got his own thing, and we copyrighted and trademarked that logo. And it's really been a rallying point. People are proud to wear it and proud to have it on their cars in different places.
So I'm pretty clear when I say that the FAA Production Studio is a joint effort between the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA, and that it stands on its own.
Absolutely. It is a separate entity, but it is a joint effort of the FAA and the National Aviation Safety Foundation.
And then we go through the history a little bit further, and all of a sudden we have partnerships with many organizations.
You're reading my mind there. That was the next thing. I said the National Aviation Safety Foundation. Well, who are all these people? All these other organizations like the Civil Air Patrol, the Soaring Society of America, the Seaplane Pilots Association, many military units, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, NASA, FAA lines of business, which are part of the FAA. And by that line of business, I mean it's like the FAA is kind of like an octopus with many different tentacles, but you have a legal division, you have an airports division, you have flight standards division, which is what the safety program is under, and also you have all these different groups that have similar missions, and when we marry them together in the National Aviation Safety Foundation, it becomes a singular mission of aviation safety. It's a matter of getting these messages out to these groups with that singular sound from the FAA Production Studios.
So at this point in the history of the studio, we could pretty clearly say that this FAA Production Studios is clearly recognized on a national level.
Oh, absolutely. We've got years of media on YouTube. We've got years of media that are broadcast over the airways. And I guess the message that I tell a lot of the crew is, if we were to quit tomorrow, 10 years later, it's still going to be out there just nagging at our heels because it's there. We have shipped stuff back when we can talk about it. We can now to the State Department in South America, all branches of the military all over the world. Back in our VHS days, we used to send out thousands of VHS tapes, and now we went to the broadcast and we'd reach hundreds of thousands. In fact, at one time we were broadcasting over the Florida Aviation Network, the FAA Aviation Training Network, the Government Educational Training Network, and even the DISH Network at one time.
That's amazing. Obi, we're going to take a break real quick for our listeners, and then we're going to come back shortly, and we're going to pick up right where we left off.
Now, let's rejoin Cheryl Hardy and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to Managing Safety. I'm here at the FAA Production Studios today at the FAST Team National Resource Center on the field at Lake and Linder Regional Airport with our guest today, Mr. Obi Young, producer and director here at the FAA Production Studios and Managing Safety.
Thanks, Cheryl. It's great to be here. It's been a long day, though.
It has been a long day. I agree with you. It really has been a long day. We were here today with the Master Pilot Awards, and that's a very special occasion that happens here at the studio. So we had a great crew today and a lot of recipients that were honored today. So that was very, very, very good. We left off at the break, Obi, talking about how now at this point the FAA Production Studios is recognized nationally. And how did that happen? How did you get the word out on a national level?
Well, as you well know, it's all about marketing and all mm-hmm. about that reach. And when we first started, we were sending out videos to people who requested them. And on our website at one time, on the FAA Production Studios website that you and Hugh, you know, take care of for us, people would send in a message saying, I'd like this video, and we would duplicate it and send it to them. So the foundation bought a duplication rack, and we'd do 10 of it at a time. But over the years, it took a lot of time to do that, and then there was a cost of shipping it all, and so we went more to broadcast because we could reach more people with less effort and being more cost effective. Then we later went through the internet, and through many links and through different organizations and our sponsors. And when I say sponsors, I guess they really call partners rather than sponsors. And we have many links on those websites.
And now further from the websites and the organizational partners, I know that the FAA Production Studios isn't just a visible presence here on the field.
Right. Okay. Now I know where you're going with this, I think. I'm still a little tired. It's been a long day. But, you know, we not only are here at the FAA Production Studios at the Sun and Fun Complex at the National Resource Center, but you'll see us walking around at Oshkosh with a little clapper board there. You'll see us walking around at Women in Aviation at the meetings there with Amy Labota, who is also one of our hosts for Managing Safety. And you'll see us at Reno, and you'll see us at most any of the major aviation events throughout the United States. And this is done, once again, through the volunteers. This is all pro bono, if you would, on the people's part of going there and pitching in, because once again, it's a single mission. It's aviation safety, and they're there interviewing the notable quotables, if you would, and seeing what's going on. At the same time, the air show industry. You remember years ago we had the International Aerobatic Club Championship here. I think it's 20 years or so. It was here at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport, and we got world notoriety for that. And Sam Marks, who is in school now at Central Florida University in television production, he was 12 years old, I think, that year, and
absolutely
he was running around
right
with his little camera,
yes,
interviewing the different people.
Debbie World
Reinhardt
Championships.
Was there, mm-hmm, and she thought he was just the cutest little guy, and now he's a grown man. So that brings back some memories. But we've really had a world impact, and you just don't realize it until people start talking about, you're part of that studio down there, aren't you? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. We absolutely are. So let's jump to 1999 and a little thing called an MOU initiative. What's that all about?
Well, Administrator Garvey, back in 1999, I think she was meeting with one of those acronyms, AAAE, which is the airports portion of the FAA, with all the states and organizations. It says, we really need for the people in the field, and I'm saying the people in the field, the state organization, aeronautical organizations, and the FAA to work towards aviation safety. What a novel approach. And to develop a cooperative aviation safety program. And so, like I said, I don't know much about this stuff, so I grabbed this and said, this looks like a good thing. So I went to our office manager in the FISDO and says, what do you think? He says, sounds like a good thing to me. The administrator thinks that. And I went to the foundation, and the foundation took it from there and went through the city of Lakeland, through Sun and Fun, through anybody who would sign on that we were working with in partnership. And so we have a lot of the MOUs, which is really, it's a letter of understanding that our concept is we're working for a common a goal. And like we said in the beginning, it's unchanged. It's aviation safety and spreading the word.
Okay, so now we have all these people on board. We have memorandums of understanding. We have a cooperative effort going. Absolutely, the word about the FAA Production Studio is spreading in the aviation industry. And then comes along a little thing called satellite broadcast.
Right.
Now what happens?
Well, gee, satellite broadcast was another quantum step, and we the Goldwater Act established 59 downlinks in the Aviation Training Network, which was the FAA network, and they didn't have the funding to do number 60. So the foundation and the Civil Air Patrol and a group of people says, well, we would like to do that and offer it to the FAA as a benefit. And so I said, well, we're going to have a downlink. Let's have an uplink. So we spent about $250,000 when I say we, the foundation, the volunteer, the FAA, and everybody together says, let's put this satellite broadcast in, and that started the Florida Aviation Network, which is our satellite broadcast. It's free to air, and that also has a website for that. And that one instrument connected us to networks. And then you're talking about millions of people all over the world, and we get people from everywhere calling in saying, y'all are the ones that are doing this, right? So once again, that threw us a quantum leap out there again.
Now that spurred the rush of our presence also in a lot of the flight schools around the country.
Right. As you know, Florida is where about 15 to 18% of all the training for U.S. certificates in the world takes place. So our major schools back then were FIT, Embry-Riddle, the Delta Connection, and so they got together and put downlinks at those facilities. But then said, wait a minute, what's to keep anybody else from seeing it? So we had some Civil Air Patrol organizations, some FBOs put it in, some EAA chapters and all, and they said, we want it too. So it was a one-time cost that they put the downlink in, and we did it. And I think even today, thanks to PGTV, we're using that same technology here in 2010 as we work towards the NASA downlink and an uplink coming up very shortly, where we're going to have the kids at the Central Florida Aerospace Academy talking to the astronauts on the space station up there. So that technology is still very viable today.
That's going to be a great event, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And Lori and all the people over there at the school, and we're just really excited about it. And, in fact, I think there was just something in the ledger about it here the other day in last month's stuff. And you'll see more about it probably as we get closer. On FAASafety.gov, I think right now it says the projected date, and it's projected because things change, was January the 11th, I believe, is when
Excellent.
That is.
I know we're looking forward to that here as well, because I know the kids from Kathleen High School will be here in the studio along with the Central Florida Aerospace Academy students, so that'll be a really big thing.
And I think we've got the potential of reaching 93,000 local kids in the school system here and throughout the world, anybody who has the internet available or the downlink available. So once again, we're multiplying networks, not point-to-point.
So now 2002 comes around, and here we are with an MOA.
An MOA is similar to an MOU, but in this case, it is a legally binding agreement. And the reason for that MOA was between the foundation and a division of the FAA Logistics, which has to do with personal property. And I don't mean an individual. That's just the name they have for equipment that's on site at different locations. And the reason for that is you've got a couple of $1 million worth of equipment that's on loan technically to the FAA, and they wanted to make sure that everything was barcoded and accounted for, both for the benefit of the foundation, for the benefit of the FAA, and make sure that it is a clear, bright line between the parties, but yet everything was transparent to the public. And as you well know, we're working with the FAA, which is a public entity, and the foundation, which is a 501c3.
Now, after we got through with all the legal binding agreements and the MOAs and all that comes with that, we move on to the Safer Sky series. Now, those of us who have been around aviation a while should be very familiar with that.
Once again, that goes back to one of the initiatives back then, the Safer Skies initiative by the administrator, and there were like 5 points that they wanted to develop. And I remember years ago, nationwide, each one of the regions was going to come up with a program on these things. And 1 year passed, and it didn't quite happen. And then the Southern Region FAA, each one of the FISTOs was going to develop one of these. And we had a couple of them. I remember down in Puerto Rico, Abel Maribel came up with something, and then one of the other guys did. But it still wasn't quite a package deal. So in one of our corporate seminars, which Flight Safety works with, and some of the guys then that are no longer with us, they've passed on, said, well, the corporate seminar, let's just assign each one of these things to a presenter. And we did. And then when Kevin and Kevin Clover, who was the national program manager at that time, and the group found out about this, they called him and says, hey, would like to come talk with y'all. And that's when we got Hugh Hardy and Cheryl, what was your name then?
DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
Right. I forget.
Got together one night on the back of a napkin and developed a plan. And we said, this is what we can do. And by golly, we got together with Florida Film and Tape with Brad Fuller and them. And we put together a dynamite series on DVD. And that became nationally distributed also. And it's still used today with a lot of good information.
It is. It's got a lot of very valuable information on it. It was a terrific project and certainly a job well done. So we move from the Safer Skies series to 2004. And tell me a little bit about what happened then.
Well, in 2004, I became one of the directors on MCAI, which was used to be another acronym, but what MCAI stands for is Media Communications Association International. And now I'm a life member of that. One time I was out in Las Vegas and got carried away. So you know how Las Vegas is.
But oh, sure.
What goes on there stays there.
There you go.
But anyway, got with Larry Haber, and we copyrighted and trademarked the FAA Production Studio logo. So it was clearly understood that this is not an FAA entity. It is owned by the foundation. But it's the flag, once again, that the volunteers and the different groups rally around. And we're supporting the FAA and its mission, and many of the other missions, they're all the same. It's all about safety, once again.
Okay, so that comes brings us up from 2005 to 2007, then. So that project brings us up through that period of time. So then there's a little-known network around town, I think called the Dish Network. How did they come into play?
Well, the Dish Network was one of the times when we were looking for a trial period, and I think we tested it there for about a year. That we worked with, and after that, then we moved more towards the streaming media, and we got some people involved in that. And I guess Jerry Sparks out at Oklahoma City says, not everybody learns the same way. Some people learn on the computer, some people learn on the books, some people learn watching television or CBI training. Computer-based training, and I call that a dark room at the end of the hall that we went into. But then some people won't laugh, and so we use a combination of all this in the different medias, and we're trying to stay ahead. And so I attend NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, every year to see what new technology is, and it's really scary. There's some real changes ahead.
Now, the FAA Production Studio did broadcast twice a week on the Dish Network, so that was quite a feat. And I know that was probably about 40 hours of programming. That was very significant.
Right. We did that, and then we've done the weekly aviation safety series, and now the Managing Safety. This is coming up on our 100th show, and this is the celebration, if you would. You've been trying to get me here for a while, so here I am.
and now we've mentioned all these networks, but we also added on throughout the years many cable networks throughout
That's
the country
right.
as well.
That's right.
Which really increased the viewership tremendously.
Actually, Managing Safety, you know, was an evolution from our rooftops at Sun and Fun, and where we had many of the people who were air show performers, many dignitaries, like the guy who splashed in the river.
That's
what was
right.
his name?
Jeff Skiles.
Jeff Skiles, the miracle on the Hudson. And, of course, the administrator, both the regional administrator, Doug Murphy, who's been a very staunch supporter of the studio and the volunteers down here. We really appreciate his efforts with the studio and particularly on the SDI conversion. And, of course, the national administrator, Randy Babbitt, we met with him over at the Women in Aviation in Orlando with another one of our hosts, Amy Labota, and then you had the pleasure of talking with Randy on the rooftop here at Sun and Fun
yes.
this year and many more people. And once again, it was a way of letting these people be humanized and talking to the people over Sun and Fun Radio, over Managing Safety. And once again, the central theme the whole time is all about safety.
That's right.
It's amazing if you're talking to an air show pilot, if you're talking to the administrator, if you're talking to somebody with airports division, if you're talking to runway safety people, it's all about safety. We still have the original mission of taking the safety program to the public at large through the various media. And we'll continue that, even to the stars, as we talk to the space station with NASA.
I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. That's going to be a great show. So everybody tune in for that on January 11th. So in 2006, what happens?
Well, 2006, I became the national production manager for this FAST team, and that's when my new job title. Basically, I was still a director, but I was working on a national basis, and that's evolved over the last two or three years. And we went from there into 2007 when we began to archive everything out at Abacast in California. In 2008, we went to HD, which is high definition. Primarily, we started in the field, and that brought us back up to 2009 with Doug Murphy, who is the regional administrator for the FAA, and we went to serial digital as far as the studio. So we went from analog to serial digital, and we're working towards HD. And that brings us up to about 2010 with the Thunderbirds last year, and now we're looking forward into 2011 with the Blue Angels, not the Thunderbirds again, but the Blue Angels.
At Sun and Fun.
At Sun and Fun, and that's where we've got program schedule in January, February, and March, supporting the volunteers once again and supporting aviation safety.
Well, Obi, you know, the history of the production studios has certainly been quite a feat, and I know you put together a very good team around you to make all this happen, but it did take a good leader to spearhead all the involvement that we've talked about today. It's a tremendous effort, and you're really to be commended on that effort. It's been a great journey and still a journey in front of us that's basically paving the way for what's yet to come. So I appreciate you being here with me today. I want
Thanks,
everybody
Cheryl.
To know that the FAA Production Studios, you can join us live on our stream at www.faaproductionstudios.com. You can tune into Managing Safety on iTunes and the Production Studio website. And we invite you to come and give another listen again sometime soon. I hope you'll join us again soon, because I know there's a lot more that we need to talk about as far as production in the studio and where we're headed from here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.